Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of our Living Waters Church Podcast. I'm Luke. If we've not met before, you might be used to hearing me say that, or some of us say that. But usually our podcast is used to upload sermons. Today, we're offering something a little bit different. As we all know, the situation surrounding COVID-19 means that our church can't gather in regular services today, but that doesn't mean we aren't still together as the body of Christ and brothers and sisters. So in that spirit of togetherness and with the magic of the internet, we've put together a digital audio service, and we're hoping to share some scripture readings, some prayer, some community updates, and a sermon from Dave in our Splinter series entitled The Cross and Failure. I'm sitting here actually right now around a table with a number of our people on our pastoral team. I'm sitting with Rebecca and Ricky and Deanna and Kyle and Joanne and Dave. So thanks for joining in, everybody. And we're so glad that you've joined us, too, as you're listening in. So let's begin with some words from Scripture and prayer, which is where we should always begin. And these are words and scriptures and prayers from Rebecca and Ricky.
Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with a harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness.
And let's pray. Good Father, out of your faithfulness, you have given us this new day, another opportunity to remember what you've done for us, another opportunity for us to take our place in the order of things, to come alongside your creation and sing your praise. We ask that you would help us to fulfill this calling you've given us, that you would give us new insight into your love and a deeper revelation of your goodness as our lives become the new song lived in your worship. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, you two. One of the things that we'd like to do with our time together is just to speak to a couple of questions that we might have, because we don't want to assume that everybody has the answers. One of the reasons that we're not gathering together is, of course, because the BC government and the healthcare professionals have asked groups over 250 not to gather, and so Living Waters Church, out of respect for that and because of public health, are making that decision, and we think we've made the right decision for everybody's best interests. Of course, we don't know how things are going to move forward from here. There is a lot of uncertainty, but over the next couple of days, our council, our pastoral team will be getting together and to determine what our next steps will be as a church, how we can best connect, how we can serve one another, all things like that. And we're going to keep you informed as much as we can, and you can visit our website to find that information as it stands right now. You can find updates there. And you're also going to find a page that refers to care and prayer that we're going to speak to a little later on in a couple of moments. But before we do that, Deanna is with us, who oversees our children, our kids ministry here in our Fort Langley location. And Deanna, there's lots going on in our community right now. all kinds of things that we're seeing on the news. And would you be willing to pray for our community, pray for safety for our community and health in our community?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Luke. I just want us just to take a moment right now and just close our eyes and just focus on God and just listen to what God has for us this morning. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you that you are with us in our midst, wherever we are. If we're on vacation right now, if we're at home, if we're in the hospital, thank you for just being with us and that we can know that you are there. As we just take a deep breath right in this moment, through this busyness, through this a little bit of uncertainty, let us know that we are just, we have certainty in you, God, and that you love us so much and that you're here with us and give us strength through all things. And Father, just help us to remember to reach out into our community and into our world. Be there for others, serve others, and just love them through this time. We can have peace because you give us that strength and you give us peace and calmness. And God, we are just thankful for the things that you have presented in front of us right now. We can find joy in moments that are very difficult. And we can find places of just ability to stop and to rest and enjoy things around us, the beauty that you created in your world and the beauty that you created with our families. And just give us that time and help us to be mindful of the people, too, that are in the hospitals right now. And we just pray for healing in their bodies. We pray, too, God, that you give us people that we can reach out to and be able to communicate love to. And so we're thankful that you are with us in this midst of time. And we're grateful for the opportunities that you'll present before us. We love you. And help us to love others. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Deanna. We want to take a couple of moments before we hear our sermon just to touch on some pieces of community news. A reminder again what you heard earlier, that we do have a care and prayer page on our website, and you can visit there. And if you have a prayer request, something you'd like our pastoral team to be praying with you for, please send that in. If you have questions or ways that we can help connect or serve you, we're going to do everything we can to do that as well. So please feel free to reach out through the website or call us here at the church. And we would love to serve you as we can. As you go on the website, of course, you're also aware that you can always give online. We want to continue to be generous because Jesus is generous, especially as we imagine there could be some community needs that pop up. So as a church, we want to be able to help people, not just within our circle, but outside of our circle as well. And those circles, we should be reminded, are going to be expanding. We're looking forward to seeing how God can use us to bless people, to bless our communities, and to imagine ways that we can be the church in our community. We're still in the season of Lent, aren't we? We're heading towards Easter, and that's not changing. As we've been in the season of Lent, we've been in a splinter series, which we're going to hear a sermon from Dave in a few moments. And Dave, I've always said you have a face for radio, so we're looking for... Is that cruel? I can't. That's cruel to say that when you're not holding a microphone. But we're in the season of Lent, and at Lent, one of the things we've been talking about are how we can engage. And we have this Lent guide that we've been handing out. You can find the Lent guide on our website, and there you can find different ways of connecting. We've talked about it for the last number of weeks. Four of the ways that we're inviting people to engage are putting something down and picking something up, fasting, praying in community together, reading the story, so reading one of the Gospels, and don't forget to party on a Sunday. And there's many different ways that we can do that, even in this season, as we can't necessarily gather in large numbers on a Sunday. Kyle's sitting right next to me, right here. And Kyle, you've been engaging in the season of Lent, so can you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to and what it's been like for you?
Yeah, absolutely, Luke. One of the things that me and a group of the young adults from Willoughby did this past week is we got together, brought a guitar, and we just spent about an hour and a half just singing songs and praying. And it was great because it was on the day that a lot of the announcements were happening around COVID-19. And so it was really exciting to just be able in that moment to recognize that our focus wasn't on all the announcements and wasn't on everything that was going on in the world, but actually just pressing into the presence of God and sitting there with Him, with other people. And so I think one of my encouragements would be to everyone who's listening today is don't be afraid to continue to gather in smaller groups and to press into that presence. Because as we've been praying, as we've been talking, there are so many opportunities in seasons and in moments like this where we as Christians have the opportunity to build and speak into kingdom values in really tangible ways.
Thanks, Kyle. What I love about this as well, whenever we talk about prayer as a community, is that prayer is something that unites us, whether we're physically present with one another or not. And that's a beautiful example of people being physically together. But even when we're not physically together, God unites us by His Spirit. And we can engage in different ways in that through the season of Lent. We're going to hear a sermon in just a few moments. But before that, we have another prayer and a scripture reading from Joanne and from Ricky. So here you are.
I'm going to be reading from Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2 and 11 to 16. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation.
So wherever you're at right now, if it's safe and if it's reasonable, I encourage you to get comfortable in your seat or on your feet. Close your eyes and take a second just to connect with your breath. That breath that God breathed into us at the beginning of time. We've just heard a beautiful psalm that focuses on the word refuge. And I wonder what images or feelings or needs that word reminds you of as you sit quietly for a moment. Allow those just to stir in your mind and your heart. Father, you are our refuge. You are our safe and spacious place. You've prepared room in your own heart for us. You are preparing a place for us. You are the great mother bird that keeps us under your wings, as the psalm says. Help us to live out of that reality. And help us to keep that reality in our hearts and in our minds as we hear now from your word. Amen.
Thank you, Ricky, and for all others on our team who have led us during this service this morning. Over the years, our community has nurtured the idea of, on Sundays, of as come as you are. And I'm imagining our community in all kinds of different places and spaces, and we're coming as we are today together. We're enjoying this good season of Lent, and as Luke has already said, together this morning we consider our place in the series, Splinter series, called The Cross and Failure, using material from the miracle of mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed." How true it is that there are many reasons why Jesus died on a cross. And here specifically puts a name on what Jesus carried to the cross. He puts a name on it, and he calls it sin, human sin. This is why Jesus died on that Good Friday. He died because things were not okay. People are fallible, imperfect people. And because of these realities, you and I experience failure in our lives. And that is what we want to talk about today, human failure. Again, Jesus dying for us so that we could, if you would, fail forward. Failure occurs within us. We know that's true, and failure occurs around us. Happens all the time. There's ideas of financial failure, failed relationships, failed businesses, moral failure, spiritual failure, academic failure, performance review and failure, athletic failure. It's no doubt that we quickly see how conversations around failure touch the heart of every person. But there is a great variety of responses to failure. And I want to, this morning, just for a few minutes, consider the contrast of two people in the New Testament and how differently they dealt with failure. And because of how differently they dealt with failure, their outcomes were, of course, different. These two New Testament characters I'm thinking of are Judas and Peter. And their failures happened on days just prior to Good Friday. Judas' failure involved betrayal. Judas rejected the mercy of God and committed suicide. Peter's failure involved denial. But Peter accepted the mercy of God and became a Christian leader whose ministry still benefits us today. So let's just consider the New Testament narrative of Peter and pick up his story in Matthew chapter 26. Setting the scene, this is just after the Last Supper. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way to the Mount of Olives. And we pick up the reading in Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. So on the way, again, on the way to the Mount of Olives, Jesus told them, "Tonight all of you will desert me. For the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Verse 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. So let's fast forward the narrative. A few hours later, after Jesus' arrest, we do read of Peter's denial just as Jesus foretold. Verse 69. Chapter 26 of Matthew. Meanwhile, Peter was outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus, the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "I curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Verse 75 shows us Peter's response. Suddenly, Jesus' words flash through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And Peter went away weeping bitterly. This story shows us how Peter failed. Peter committed to one thing and he did another. And it just so happens he did it in full view of many. You and I may have done the same thing, but we didn't. Peter did, and he failed. So let's, rather than discuss for a long time maybe why he failed, let's rather this morning consider what Peter did when he failed. And secondly, let's take a look at what God does with our failure as seen in the life of Peter. So as I've just read, Peter failed, and then verse 75 says, Peter wept bitterly. In other words, Peter grieved. Friends, to get past any failure, you have to go through it. And imagine Peter. He had just lived with the Son of God. He had watched Jesus perform miracles. He had heard him teach. He'd received his offer of grace. And here now, the first time Peter's put to a test, he fails. But again, notice what Peter did. Peter owned it. He owned it. He's humbled, perhaps humiliated. But in some way, this is a part of dealing with failure. Peter grieved what he did. He was there, seen, feeling the loss and understanding the consequence. Peter had fallen. When I was in high school, I played football, and it seemed that almost every practice we would go over and over again, this down-up drill. The coach would blow a whistle, and we would run on the spot. Second whistle would be blown, and we would have to drop on our chest and get up fast as we could, fast as we could, and then resume running on the spot. And over, we would do that week in and week out. It wasn't so much about learning how to fall as it was learning how to get back up. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Friends, the cross puts a name on things. Peter sinned. He fell down. He failed. He lied. He denied Christ. And he denied, in some ways, his relationship with his friends, the other disciples. Poor choice. He failed. But see, God will not allow us to take shortcuts when getting up and moving along after a failure. For all through Scripture, God puts a name on things, and so he wants us to do the same, especially when we fail. For if you and I don't put a name on it, we don't grieve and learn, then perhaps you and I will take the old way into the next chapter or into the next relationship, and then there's often a good chance that this type of behavior and failure will be experienced all over again. We will be talking more about grief next week, but grieving is the way to get through loss, transitions, mistakes, disappointments, and of course, failure that we're talking about today. Grieving lets God work, gives God time to work. There's no formula, you can't force it, but grieving is about being honest, suggesting that we don't have it all together. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice you desire, O God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God, a broken and contrite spirit. And Matthew 26:7-5, we read that when Peter heard the rooster crowed, he was broken. He felt the pain. And I would imagine that from that time on, every time Peter heard a rooster crow, he probably thought of this event. They're called mental triggers. Peter would, I would imagine, in the days ahead, have mental triggers. We see someone, we go somewhere, we read something, we hear something, and we are reminded of our past failure. And during that trigger, we have the choice of what we focus on. The challenge, though, is pride often gets in the way when we need to put down sin and a reminder of our past. Pride often keeps us there, not allowing us to pick up mercy. During that trigger, if we think it's easier to focus on the pain rather than faith, receiving healing, then we will do so. But I want to remind us today that Christianity is not so much about what God needs from us. The gospel is putting a name on what we need to receive from God. For the gospel is all about receiving. And that day, Peter, because of his ability to grieve, began a journey towards restoration, which involved mercy. and receiving all that he needed from Christ. So if you're all about doing and giving, Christianity is going to be hard, for the gospel is all about receiving. And Peter received from Jesus that day and in the days ahead mercy, which best positioned him towards the destiny that God had for him for the remainder of his life. So let's move along on Peter's recovery. Let's fast forward a few days. So Peter heard the rooster crow. He wept. He grieved. What's next? Well, we fast forward a few days, and Jesus is crucified and buried. And 3 days later, we pick up and find Peter in Mark 16. So again, the stage, it was very early on Easter morning, and Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, went to Jesus' tomb and found it empty. And to them, this was quite overwhelming. And so in Mark 16, verse 10, it says, they went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. So look at this. Peter is found just a few days later after his failure. Peter is seen and found and heard amongst his friends. Peter's there. Peter found himself with the disciples during his difficult time, during their difficult time. It seems Peter made a wise choice and in the midst of his grieving, gravitated to his confidence. Such a good lesson. We must resist the urge to isolate ourselves when we're dealing with failure. So friends, when you fail, don't isolate yourself. I think we've all been there. When we fail, we don't want anyone to know. I mean, our first tendency is to cover up. It's to hide. We're embarrassed. There's shame. We're convicted. And people have been doing this since the Garden of Eden, hiding, protecting. This is true. Practically, business challenges, activities, school, morally, athletic, spiritually. But the scripture teaches us to move away from isolation and to move towards friendship and community. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that it may be healed. Ultimate recovery from failure involves confession. Confession to God for forgiveness, confessing to another for healing. We see it in scripture. So, see, when you share a burden with someone, good things happen, especially if you're sharing that burden with the right confidant. Peter made a good choice. He went to his small group. Despite his humiliation and shame. I mean, can you imagine Peter walking into that room that very first time? He was taking a step of faith towards leaning in to the goodwill of good friendships, and good things came from it. So let's keep the story moving. From Easter morning, early morning, to Easter evening, John 20, verse 19 to 20, reads this, that Sunday evening. So again, we move from the failure prior to Good Friday. We've moved to early Sunday morning, and now we're Sunday evening. Then Sunday evening, the disciples are meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, and suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he replied. Here again, we see Peter in the midst of friendship and community, seeking to apply the promise of Matthew 18:20 that says, where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Wow, the value of friendship. Wow, the value of small group. Wow, the value of community. Friends, in a crisis, we don't think straight. We need people, we need good people around us. How true the picture that Rebecca painted last week in Fort Langley when she said, we need one another, asking inappropriately, hang on for me, hang on with me, and hang on to me, especially as I walk through and recover from failure. Certainly there was a lot going on in Peter's life, but how beautiful it is that he found community and he found the good, holy, loving presence of his Savior Jesus. So let's keep going on in Peter's journey. John chapter 20, a week after Easter now, John 20:26, says this, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this, again, this passage now talks about Thomas finding himself in community. Wow, Peter had a place to go when he failed, and so did Thomas have a place to go in the midst of some of his soul-searching doubts about his future and about who Christ was. Friends, this is so important. Again, how different a path that Judas walked after his failure. It led to him taking his life. Peter's journey so different. He grieved and he found community. And it certainly didn't have to be the way for Judas. He could have found another way. And I would just say in passing, another idea here is the best time to build a support network is before your crisis, before your loss, before your death, a death experience, before illness. Now is the time, regardless of your circumstance, to build a network of friendships, to find community, to find friendships as Peter modeled in his life. So again, let's keep following Peter. Many years later, Peter wrote some letters. He found himself qualified enough and divinely appointed to actually begin to talk about mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1, he wrote two epistles, and he begins his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, saying, "Because of God's mercy, he has given me new life." Wow. Think about this, friends. Peter had not too long ago had a massive failure, but he's not walking around discouraged. He's testifying, rather, of God's mercy, and he's doing it in the midst of old and new communities. He's speaking from his story. These are lessons I've learned, he's saying, friends, and you can discover them as well. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "When cast all your anxiety on the mercy of God." Peter had learned how to do that. What was Peter saying? The word cast. The meaning here is it's not the idea of a fisherman who casts a line and remains with a hold or a grip on the line. The word cast here is rather carries the image of carrying a giant boulder and just letting go of it once and for all. And in this case, dropping it on God, dropping it and relying on the mercy of God to care for that giant boulder. Friends, if you're carrying anxiety this morning, I want to encourage you to take Peter's advice and cast that concern on the mercy of God. So what does God do with our stuff? Well, let's again look over the story of Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32, after Jesus predicted the betrayal of Peter and the other disciples, again, let's go back in the story. It says, they got up from the Last Supper, and in the verse I read earlier, as they traveled to the Mount of Olives, while en route, again, to the Mount of Olives, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." So we see what Peter did with his failure. What does God do with our failures? Well, from these words of Jesus, we see the heart of God. He isn't shocked by your failure. Jesus says, "Simon, Satan wants to mess with you." So Jesus, God is not surprised by anything that you do. Psalm even says in chapter 103, verse 14, "For he knows how weak we are. He reminds us we are only dust." Secondly, this chapter in verse 32, Luke 22 says, "I've already prayed for you that your faith should not fail." So we see Jesus' prayers are answered. Peter failed, but his faith did not fail. Friends, how good to know, even from those verses, those words of Jesus, and also from Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he's able once and for all to save those who come to God through him, for he ever lives to intercede with God on their behalf." God is talking to himself today about you. It's called prayer. He's interceding for us. What does God do with our failures? He intercedes for us. Thirdly, he believes in us. Look what it says. Look what Jesus said to Peter. Verse 32, "Peter, when you have repented and have turned back to me." Wow. Jesus believed in Peter. He believed in him. He believed in his potential to humble himself and grieve and receive mercy. He believed in the community that had formed around him over the years. And he believed that Peter was going to find a better day. We also see how Jesus shows us mercy when we're down. He doesn't add guilt. He doesn't cast shame. He saves us. He continually saves us. Again, keep following Peter. John 21, after the resurrection, after the Mount of Olives, the arrest, the sentencing, 2 weeks after Easter, John chapter 21, Jesus appeared at the Sea of Galilee. John 21, in the midst of all that Peter had happened to him, chapter 21 of John says Peter went fishing with the other disciples. Perhaps this is telling of Peter's vulnerable state once again. Maybe a sign of discouragement, depression, we're not sure. But the story tells us the disciples had fished all night and caught nothing. Failure again in some ways. But at dawn, Jesus says, friends, cast your net on the right side. Friends, God can do more in a minute, in a few minutes, than we can do for ourselves with our own plans over many, many years. Cast your net on the other side. Wow. So they put their nets on the other side and they catch a large haul. They come ashore at Jesus' invitation to find Jesus was cooking fish. He had a barbecue going and Jesus served them. So think about it. What does God do with their failure? Think about it. Jesus had his friends deny him. And 2 weeks later, he goes far out of his way to find himself on the Sea of Galilee, cooking and preparing a nice breakfast for these people who had denied him. See, God's mercy is not dependent upon our performance. God's mercy is new every morning. God never gives up on you. Some of you need to hear that today. And lastly, from Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus says, Peter, when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brother. So finally, what does God do with our failures? God uses our failures to build his church. Jesus is saying, Peter, use your failure. Fail forward and use your failure to teach others. See, friends, failure doesn't disqualify us. It actually, in some ways, qualified Peter, and perhaps in some way, it qualifies us. Think about it. Again, Jesus said to Simon, in Matthew chapter 16:8, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Why Peter? Why the name Peter? Because Peter means rock, and this rock was built on faith and failures. Peter was going to be a rock because of God's mercy. A rock that what? A rock on which the church is built. And friends, this would be the same as well. The future of the church is based on faith and us moving through our failures, discovering God's mercy so that we can teach others. Peter's ministry was built upon mercy and upon the lessons he learned early on through his failures. So in closing, I offer you two questions as we close. Finding ourselves in the middle of Lent, and the whole, of course, idea of Lent is making more room for God. And perhaps these questions today from our lesson on the cross and failure would be wise for us to consider this morning. Question is this: are you going to respond to failure like Judas or Peter? Judas broke down. Peter experienced breakthrough. Judas gave up. Peter looked up. Judas rejected the mercy of God. Peter accepted the mercy of God. Judas felt condemnation. Peter enjoyed celebration. Judas took his life in despair. Peter lived his life with renewed purpose. Fast forward for Peter, 50 days after the day of Pentecost, we see Peter's biggest failure, we see him preaching at Pentecost, in front of thousands of people and many people coming to know Jesus as his, their personal Lord and Savior. See, friends, we can be Judas or we can be Peter. And I encourage you, I think we all agree, that we can learn so much from Peter. And my final question is this: what failure have you had that God wants to use to build his church? With a community of our size of Living Waters, there's all kinds of story. There's all kinds of personal narratives within our community. And again, the question is personal, but what does God want? How does God want you to build this church. And certainly from Peter's lesson today, we learn that failure creates a platform for us to teach and share. Maybe it's a failed business. Maybe it's the unfortunate realities of failed marriage. Maybe it's moral failure. My question today is, what message can you share as you walk through difficult times, or perhaps as you continue to reflect on difficult days of the past? Regardless, in time, you and I and all of us should be helping people around us. Let's not waste our failures. Let's discover each one as trophies of God's good grace for all to see and stories to hold. Let's pray. God, I thank you today that you are a God of the second chance. You're a God of the third chance. Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. Where would anyone be without your mercy? Thank you for the good example of Peter that we find in front of us today. And Lord, we do pray for one another, that one who finds himself in the midst of failure, whether that would be at this point very personal and private, or perhaps a failure that's influencing and affecting the lives of others. Lord, we want you to meet us today where we are. We need your grace and we need your mercy. Lord, we confess our sin. We confess our shortcomings. And Lord, we thank you that our lives, as we lean them upon you, are able to find a new day and a new way. Lord, during this good season of Lent, as we continue to make room in our minds and our hearts for you, we pray that you would accomplish all those good things that you have in your mind for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. On behalf of our team and our council, let us say that we are praying for you and we love you. And let's close with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And we all said together, Amen. Amen.